Well, we're back on session number 7, and we're going to talk about elders as overseers.
Yeah, this is just a reminder where we've been. You know, we looked at what it means to be an elder and who's called to be an elder and the kind of character we need as elders. And we began to look at some of the issues of what does an elder do. Well, this session is maybe one of the most important things that elders do, but it's adjusted, let's put it that way, depending on the size of your church. So let's get into it. One of the words that's used to describe eldership is the word overseer. Here's from Titus, where Paul is writing about all those characteristics. He says, since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, etc., etc., etc. We looked at those words. That idea of an overseer is huge.
Right,
the
like that
task,
key defining task that's going on.
Right, and then here's in Timothy, trustworthy saving, whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. And Paul, talking to the elders in Ephesus in Acts 20, he says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flocks of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God which you built with your own Christ. That idea of overseers is huge. Here's one more. Paul is writing to the Philippians, and he says, to God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons.
In this case, elders is really a synonym for overseers.
Yes, right.
In the way that
another word that it's used. So what does that mean? Well, the word in the original language is episkopos. You can... You know, those of you who are of Episcopal background will recognize that. It's sometimes translated as bishop in older translations, but this is the definition. One who has responsibility of safeguarding it or seeing to it that something is done in the correct way, or synonym would be guardian. And so how in the world do you do this? Well, the image in the Bible that's very used often, certainly by Jesus, as being the shepherd. Now, the shepherd has a lot of responsibility for the sheep. And most of those we could put under that rubric of he oversees the sheep. He makes sure they're protected. He makes sure
guarding
they're
them,
fed.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And so how do you, as an elder here in the 20th century, 21st century, whoa, man, I'm reflecting my age there. How do you act as an overseer in your church? Well, let's think about that a minute. Part of it has to do with the mission of the church. In other words, an overseer defines why your church exists.
Right. To be able to be safeguarding something, you have to have that mission that you're guarding, that you're keeping.
Right. Understanding what the priorities are. Now, every church is going to have these aspects to their mission, their worship. Education, discipleship, evangelism, outreach, fellowship. Those things, probably when you read church mission statements, and there are an abundance of them online, they will somehow have those four things included in it. But to understand how you do this in your church, in your position as elder, we have to look at something else, and that is the size of the church.
Right. Now, it's going to look very different, the elder structure, the leadership structure.
And I've had the privilege of pastoring churches that my first church was small, second church was medium, grew to large, second church was large, grew to very large, to mega church while I was there. And so I've had experience in all of these, and it just strikes me how different the role of elder was in each of those situations. So let's look at how churches are usually staffed, right? A single pastor in the small church. See, 70% of the churches in the United States are small churches, and they usually have a single pastor. Mm-hmm. And that pastor does kind of everything. Medium church, which we get up to 200 to, you know, 300 or 400 people, will have a pastor, but then we'll have part-time staff in addition to that. Large church will have a pastor and some significant staff, and a very large church will have levels of staff. And in a mega church, you'll have multiple levels of staff. Now, let me explain what that looks like. In the small church, I put pastor as leader in question mark. Most small churches, I believe, have an idea that they have a pastor to be their chaplain. In other words, he or she is going to preach going to visit the sick, going to do funerals, going to do weddings. And the elders are the ones who have been there for years. In small churches, elders tend, or pastors don't stay to tend to stay real long.
Yeah.
And so the pastors are the ones that are there, or the elders, excuse me, are the ones who
right.
are there
right.
year so after year after year.
Part of that whole congregation.
And so they tend to share leadership with the pastor. Now, if you get to that small church, you'll find the pastor doing preaching and worship, primary pastoral care. Elders are also involved caring because they know everybody in the church usually.
Right, so they need to.
The pastor teaches in most of the classes, but elders often take those roles, and the elders and pastor lead together. Now, the picture there is of the first church that I served. 1979 to 1984. And I'm pleased. You look at the sign at City on the Hill. After I left there, they had a pastor who followed me and had a whole different idea, and the church began to decline, and it shut down entirely about 8 years ago. And it just reopened again last year, and with a new pastor, a new launch team, and they
yeah.
launched a City on the Hill. And I rejoice as from a distance now when I see
right,
that they've got
see that new dream and vision. And
right. And I've got a cattle trough up there. They baptized 8 adults one Sunday morning. And I rejoice
wonderful.
In that. But they started the church without elders. They started with a pastor and a launch team. And now they're just starting to get organized and trying to define that. But this is how it happens usually in a small church. That little building, you know, could seat about 100 people, and that was it. So that's the small church. Now, you get to the medium-sized church, and this is a church I served in Grand Haven, Michigan, picture of it. It's an old piano factory building that was purchased many years ago and continues to be rehabbed and redeveloped and et cetera. In the medium-sized church, you've got a little different kind of setup. In the medium-sized church, as it's growing to a large church, which happened in that church, the pastor is more of a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And the elders tend to take defined roles. In that church, we had shepherding elders who were responsible for the spiritual and care mm-hmm. of people. And then we had governing elders, the ones who would be overseers, and there were 6 of each of those. The governing elders had a very defined job description. They would pray for the church. They approved budget every year. They approved ministry plans, so they had a role of saying yes
mm-hmm.
or no. They would help evaluate
right.
the ministry.
How are we doing? How
right.
are things?
And some things we're going to be doing later. And they supported the pastor, the church, but they were involved in support of that. That's in addition to that, we had functional teams. In other words, these were people, the elders had 3-year terms. They could renew them, but they were on terms.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a finance team with people who were skilled in finance, a facility team who took care of the building, and a personnel team to make sure that all of our manuals for personnel and they served as kind of a place where somebody could appeal
yeah.
if they felt like their supervisor had been unkind or and then we had a lot of part-time staff. So that's the medium size. Now, when we get to the mega church or the very large church, it's a different setting entirely. This is the church I served in Southern California after we relocated. We had a church that sat about 400. We were in 3 services, and we decided to relocate in a 6.5-year process. And if you take other classes by me, you'll hear about that. But anyway, how does that function there? Well, elders functioning as a ruling body. The pastor is the primary leader. When I was there, I was given authority, all authority. I could hire, I could fire, I could do almost anything. But every year I was evaluated for effectiveness, and the whole ministry was evaluated regularly. And we had multiple staff. We had worship staff, not just one, but about 3 in worship, a couple of people in children ministry.
Mm-hmm.
We had a preschool on the grounds, and that had its own staff and youth staff. We had a couple of different people in youth missions, evangelism, and then we did have the finance, facility, and personnel people, and those people did the programming of the church. But it's different there. So the elders in that church had a different role. They would look at the church. They supported me And they did. There were a couple of times when we'll get into conflict later. But leaders tend to be subject to, let's say, some complaints at various times. And elders had to make a choice. How are we going to handle this complaint? And what their job, part of their job description was to me and the other ordained people on staff, they were a support and were marvelously so. So it's going to be different,
right,
depending on the size of your church, depending on who is your pastor. Now, one pastor I know of is a delightful man, authentic, true, but he admits he's got no leadership ability. He's kind of thrust into this leadership thing, and he didn't like it at all.
Hmm.
And so he functions more as a shepherd, as the chaplain. And in that situation, if that church, the elders have to be far more engaged in the leadership.
They need to be more in the leading, yeah.
Right. And when they were looking for other staff, they were looking for leaders, people who had gifts in spiritual gifts and leadership. So that, the big question is, what does your church need? When you look at the size of your church, when you look at how it's organized, you look at who is the pastor in your church, and his or her particular gifts, what is it that your church needs? What are your spiritual gifts? The Bible is very clear that God gives us spiritual gifts. Do you have gifts in leadership? Then you should be stepping alongside your pastor. You should be helping in leadership. Now, in that last church I served, we had an abundance of qualified leaders. These were people who, had built and started their own businesses, built them up. They knew about checking in. They knew about what it took. And so they continued to step by me. And, I will say they would correct me on occasion, too. I remember very well a man who was a good friend, but he was a powerful leader. He was one of the church fathers. He began the church. One of those visionary people who started and planted this new church that was going to be in Chino, California. But I remember the day where I had pushed something through. I was trying to get us to be involved in church planting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd arranged with the seminary of our denomination to send us a person who had just graduated from seminary. He's going to be with us for a year, and then we'd launch him into church planting. And so I brought this to the elders. And boy, I ran that thing through. And afterwards, this church leader said to me, "We better have lunch."
You're like, ah.
I always felt like, oh no, I'm going to the woodshed here. But what he said was very encouraging. He said, you cashed in a lot of chips in this whole process. That idea of having chips that allow you to do more.
Right.
He said, you don't have to do that. He said, if you had come to me and explained the vision of this whole thing beforehand, not just drop it on me in a meeting, he said, I could have carried that ball for you, and you could have just enjoyed the results.
Right, and been able to be like, I support this, I like this, I want this, but he could have done that.
Yeah, and he was true to his word. We formed a partnership. This was early on in my ministry there. And in fact, when we were going to relocate, he was chairman of our building committee, and he took that whole process. I was on the building committee, but he took that whole process, worked it all through, a multi-million dollar project. And, I played my role as pastor and leader of some parts of it. He took the ball and ran with it. And,
right. He did what he said, right. He was willing to be that person of leadership and support to you.
Yeah.
You didn't have to carry that.
Right. And in the process, now, the pastor, for good or ill, in our culture, I'm not sure about yours, but I carried a lot of influence. And so when we were in fundraising, I had a role to play there as far as, I was the one going to the various small group meetings to talk about this and et cetera. But, in the background, I wasn't worried about budgets. I wasn't worried. We had to sell our old church building. I didn't deal with that hard at all.
You weren't working on getting that sold.
Right. We had to deal with the city and getting permits. And, it was a grueling process. And most of it I didn't have to deal with. It did. It was incredibly draining. But get the idea? Pastors and elders are to work together. Now, in the system that I function in the denomination I'm a part of, the pastor is officially an elder in the church. And that's the role you get. Now, you get a title to go with that because you've gotten some training and you've been set aside for this as pastor. But I function as one of the elders, as a group of people who come together. And this is important foundation stuff because we're going to talk, eventually about church. What do you do in an elder meeting? We're going to talk about evaluating ministry. How do you evaluate ministry and whether you're accomplishing what you say you want to accomplish? We're going to be talking about a whole bunch of stuff like that that will impact how you function, depending on how you view your role. And so, this is one, if you're involved in this class, you've just become an elder somewhere, it's time to sit down with your pastor and have a conversation about it. How does he see this?
Right, get this clarity of what does elder look like in your context.
Yes, and what is my role? And what are your spiritual gifts? Do you have gifts in leadership? Do you have gifts in shepherding? Do you have gifts in mercy? Do you have gifts in exhortation? Do you have gifts in... And how can you function to the optimum for your church? Because you are called to be an overseer. Whatever your spiritual gifts, God is giving you the opportunity to have an impact on the spiritual life of your church. And so don't miss this one, this task of overseer. It's not as fun as some of the other ones in some respects, because this is where sometimes conflicts arise.
I think it's difficult at times to be an overseer. It is a noble task, as the Bible says. It's hard.
It's noble and it's needed. I've been dealing with a church in our community from outside because they have a structure where the pastor is all powerful. This is a church of, it's probably a medium-sized church at this point, but their elders, they have three, and they really have no power, they have no input whatsoever. The pastor is it. Now, studies have been done of that organizational system, I will tell you that, and it is the most inefficient for getting things done. It's also the one that gets most in trouble.
Yeah.
Because all of us, your pastor...
You cannot do it alone.
Right.
Nobody can do this alone.
And all of us, absolute power corrupts absolutely, is the old saying. That somebody with all the power, it's just not biblical, number one. And number two, it's putting your church in danger. And I think, in the United States, some of my heroes, people like Bill Hybels, somebody who was dismissed from ministry, John Ortberg, somebody who resigned from ministry. These are mega church pastors who had a lot of power, and in some respects they abused it, and so the church dismissed them. And so you are needed as an elder.
Mm-hmm. You are necessary to the health of your church.
Right, and especially in this role of overseer. And so, we're going to go on from here, but get this one right, okay? We'll see you next time.